Hey there, welcome back to the Northwest Audio Podcast, Midweek Formation, where we give some supplemental content to take your formation beyond Sunday morning. My name is Nick, I'm the community pastor here at Northwest, and I'm here with our youth pastor, Sam. Today we're going to be unpacking JD's message from Sunday called The Posture of Prayer. So good. Well, just a little preface before we get into all the things. If you haven't listened to Sunday's message yet,
go do yourself a favor.
Go listen to that. JD, a volunteer on our teaching team, did a marvelous job with this message. And if you haven't listened to it, you know, you can find it on our most recent episode before this one that you're listening to right now. You can just find it very easily. You just scroll. You don't even have to scroll. It should be on the same screen.
Right, same
there's no page. Scrolling to have that has to happen.
Not necessary.
So it's super easy to find. Give it a listen and then come back and listen to this. It'll, you know, probably help make things make sense a little bit. You'd be like, what are these two fools talking about? I don't understand. So listen to it first. You won't regret it. Great message. So yeah, today we're just gonna be unpacking it a little bit and just kind of expanding on what he was talking about. And we're gonna be doing this for the entirety of this prayer series, this House of Prayer series, for the next I don't know, 9 weeks, I think it is, something like that. A number of weeks,
right.
It is. And well, during this series, we're going to be, for the podcast, basically just unpacking it, talking more about how do we do this in our day to day? How do we actually take what was on Sunday and make it the other 6 days? Because right. I think just, you know, part of that was a little bit of the vision behind this podcast from the beginning. Part of the reason we wanted to do this midweek podcast was so that we could unpack what we always hear on a Sunday morning and let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond Sunday. Let's figure out how we actually can, you know, incorporate this into the day to day and in a more conversational, you know, personable style. You know, and it gives us an opportunity for those of us who were there on Sunday, we listened to it, we had some takeaways, and then we may have forgotten about them on Monday.
And right. So what was the set we were talking about? It was like people will remember 5 to 8 minutes.
Yes. 5 to 8 minutes of a 48 minute sermon. And like they won't get that
much.
The rest is gone. And not only that, but then those however many minutes, you may forget them after a few days. And so
right.
This is an opportunity for us to take a refresher, you know, listen to it again, listen to now these words that kind of unpacks more and say, okay, what can I actually do with this? How can I actually practice this? How can I follow Jesus in this? So let's just start by reminding everyone kind of like the whole point of this series, I guess. The series is basically built to remind us that there are many ways of prayer. You know, this we often think of prayer as a, you know, this one size fits all. This is the formula mm-hmm. for prayer that we have to have. And that is now our life with God. There it is. Like, that's it.
Right.
And so the goal of this was basically to say, you know, when we limit what prayer is, we limit what God is.
Mm.
And so we don't want to put God in a box and say, God is nothing more than a genie that answers my requests and someone I thank for answering my requests.
Or the vending machine. I put in my quarter and I didn't get
right,
my Coca-Cola
out. Yeah,
I wish Coke only cost a quarter.
Unfortunately, that's not the case.
No.
We're not in 1930.
No.
But you know, it's just this whole series is meant to kind of expand on that. And, you know, so we're going to be hitting different types of prayer like Thanksgiving and lament. You know, discernment, intercession, like what are these things, like these words that may be thrown around in Christian lingo, but what does that look like? How do you step into prayer for other people? How do you step into prayer of Thanksgiving in a real and intentional way? How do you pray lament? Mm-hmm. How do you do those things? And so we're going to be kind of unpacking those over the next several weeks. But yeah, so this last weekend, JD was kind of set us up with an intro and just talking about the posture of prayer as a whole. And what does it mean to have a different type of posture? And he's kind of challenging this paradigm of the, and I love that he did the illustration on the whiteboard, you know, of like the, you know, I thank God for this. Thank God for my day. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this.
Thank you for the kids. Thank you for the
wife. And now I ask you for this. I ask you that this go well and give me blessings and give me this. Amen.
Amen.
You know
done.
What I mean? Like that's just
I checked
how,
my box.
Yes, I checked my box. That's how that often goes for a lot of us. Maybe that's not the case for everybody. But for many of us, especially if you grew up in the church, like I would assume that you would probably be in the same boat as me, that that's just kind of how you were taught from day one. I don't know. What was your kind of take? You didn't grow up in the church. So
yeah,
when you were introduced to prayer, what did that look like? Like how did they introduce it to you?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, church was mostly in the background. So we had, you know, sister and I be laying down, sleeping or whatever, and then my mom would pray over us, and that'd be it. Even when we went to church and were put in the kids' church, it was basically like, all right, well, I'm just going to fold my hands, close my eyes, bow my head, and just sit there quietly while the adult talks, and then I'll open up my eyes, and then that's it.
Wow, I like that. So you sit there quietly.
It was
and you wait for the adult to be done.
Yeah, it was something. So, it was such something a good way to put you it. Do, not someone you're with. That's what it was.
That's really good.
No, it's not.
true. It's not a good thing, but that is such a good way to say it. Something you do, not someone you're with. It's
right.
Just an activity. It's a obligation. Prayer is just on my list of to-dos for religion, and for this Christianity thing.
Right. It's like a college course. It's like, well, yeah. Prayer is 10% of my grade or 20% of my grade. I can sacrifice yes. some if it's only 10%, because going to church is my 90 and yes. that's what I'm doing really good on.
Going to church is the 90. As long as I ace the 90, I don't have to worry about the 10.
Right.
That is such a good analogy. I can't even, especially like after doing a college course where I was genuinely thinking like that of like, I don't have to do that well on this. Is if I do good on this, I can not worry about it.
I'm week four grad school. I'm thinking the same thing right now.
Oh my goodness. That is fantastic. I want to unpack that more. That's something you do rather than someone you're with. And I feel like that's kind of like the heart of the message that was on Sunday was like, we need to stop thinking of prayer as something we do, but rather someone that we're with.
Right.
Like we need to think of this as the intimacy. Like he said, all fruitfulness flows from intimacy. And so it's like, you know, he like kind of debunked the myth and the lie that is like, oh, prayer is unproductive. You know, sitting with God is unproductive, but you know, like all fruit flows from intimacy. Like if you are with God, if you are sitting in the presence of God and you are just being with him. And I think we've talked about that a little bit on other practices of prayer and stuff like that. We've talked about being with Jesus in some capacity and just like sitting with him. But like, you know, talking about like how Jesus, you know, he was baptized and then he spent a bunch of time with God and then all his fruitfulness, his ministry flowed from that moment.
Yeah.
And you know, it's important that we kind of recall that. And we bring that in and say, okay, my intimacy with God, my relationship with Jesus is of utmost importance. That is the most important thing I'll ever do. There's actually a quote from a guy named Pete Grieg. He's the founder of 24/7 prayer across the globe. They're doing, we do nonstop prayer here at our church, but and we kind of do it in conjunction with this organization of 24/7 prayer. But they've had churches and prayer rooms praying nonstop 24 hours a day for years. Years and years and years. There are prayer rooms where it's like there's been someone in this room praying for 20 plus years. And it's like so amazing to like think through this ministry and how they all work. And they do a bunch of other things and stuff too. So you can always look into that. If you just look up 24/7 prayer, I'll just link it in the show notes. You can see what they're up to and stuff. But this guy, the founder of it, he has written multiple books on prayer. And in his book that I'm reading right now called How to Hear God, he says, learning to hear God's voice, his word and his whisper, is the single most important thing you will ever learn to do.
Mm.
Hearing God is not peripheral. It is integral to human history. Neither is it an optional extra for wild-eyed mystics and those who happen to be spiritually inclined. Hearing God is essential to the very purpose for which you and I were made. Wow. Without it, everything falls apart. And so that quote is just like, for me, like we need to put that in perspective. Prayer is the 90%.
Yeah, come on.
Like we can't think of prayer as this 10% and the going to church and the, you know, saying hi and serving on a team, like that's the 90 and prayer is the 10. Like it's probably more of like a 50-50. Or honestly, they're both 100. They're both important. They're both of the utmost importance. Prayer cannot be reduced down to something we do. It is someone we are with. It is an intimate time with God. It is a time to be present with him because that's what we were created to do. It's the single most important thing you will ever learn to do. And I just love that. Like, we were created to be with God, to be present with him. We were created to be that way. And so it's like, that's the most important thing. Like, we have to be with God. We have to listen to God. We have to just sit with him. So I don't know. That's just like, for me, that is huge. That is huge.
Yeah. I know in his message, JD went to John 15, which I'm the vine, you're the branches. But even a little bit before then, and granted he didn't quote this passage, but I just thinking of Jesus being the door for the sheep. And when the shepherd goes out, like, the sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
Do we know his voice?
Yeah.
Like, do the sheep know when the shepherd says, come in? Do the sheep know to follow him? Or if they don't know the shepherd's voice, are they just going to be stranded walking to and fro and getting mauled by everything?
Yeah. Which brings us to that other quote that he had said, you know, that your life is the length and shadow of your secret place with Jesus.
Yeah.
Of like the extent to which you understand and can hear God's voice is the same extent that your life will actually be fruitful and be meaningful, purposeful, the way God created you. Like, you know, how could you possibly know what God's, you know, like, where God is leading you in any given moment or any given situation? How can you be attuned to the Spirit if you don't know him, or if you don't hear him, if you don't intentionally take time to be with him? You know, it's like, we talked about this. We might've talked about this on a podcast before, but you know, when I gave that message at students, we did the little test of
the
sheet of like, do you know somebody just by their voice? And it's like, you'd have to actually know somebody in order to like tell who they are by just hearing their voice and not seeing them.
Yeah. And the Mercy students crew knew exactly who everyone's voice was.
Yes. Which was cool that they are like, they did know.
They're like, of course I know who that person is.
But it's like, if some stranger just walked in and I didn't see who they were, I didn't know who they were, and they just started talking, I wouldn't be able to identify them.
Yeah.
No, but I would identify my wife. If I heard her just talking, I'd be like, yeah, that's my wife's voice. And so it's like, we need to spend time with people in order to understand the voice. And so how can we step into that kind of relational experience of prayer, intimate experience of prayer, rather than the like, I have to fulfill this agenda. Not that the, you know, like JD said, not that the thanking God and the making requests to God is a bad thing. Like, it's not at all what we want to, you know.
Sure.
Teach or encourage in any way. What we're wanting to do is open up beyond just that. Like, we don't want to get stuck there. We don't want to get stuck in this thing and say this is all God is, because God's like, I have so much more to offer you than that.
Yeah.
Like, I have so much more to offer you than what you want for tomorrow's event. I have so much more to give to you than some blessings. Like, I have so much more to give to you than whatever requests you bring to me or whatever thing you're thanking for. Like, it's literally that Ephesians passage that he said, to God who can do immeasurably more.
Yeah.
Like, God wants to give immeasurably more. He wants to give the fullness of his presence, the fullness of who he is, his divine love, his divine life. He wants to give more than just what we, like, ask for tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And as much as he wants to give us those things, he wants to give us more. And so we have to like open ourselves up to that, you know?
Yeah, that's what JD kind of hinted at that as well, but God's not going, all right, well, let me just give you enough to get by. Mm. It's like, if I'm going on a car ride, I have one water bottle and I need to make that work for a few hours. Yeah. Well, God's not giving me that for that. I'm getting all of him.
Yeah, all of him.
Yeah, but I mean, in a sense though, you're talking about like, we need to hear God's voice. I think that's part of the thing I think we all struggle with is, one, recognizing like, how do I know it's his voice? I think part of that, just as JD talked about with John 15, it's abiding.
Yeah.
There's a question that I heard in another sermon, but it was, if the Holy Spirit left your life right now, how long would it take you to notice? And that was such a gut punch to me hearing that question, because I'm like, oh man, like, I had my my Devo at the beginning of the day, and I was listening to that message at the end of the day going, oh my gosh, the whole day went by and I never took stock.
Yeah.
I was like, I easily went almost an entire day of work without even recognizing that. So
without like listening for it and trying to think through it and be with God.
Honestly, though, I think it's partially, I think one, it's our lack of attention.
Yeah.
But also we just over spiritualize freaking everything.
Yeah, we do.
We
overthink everything.
Like, I need to see this in the sky. I need to feel this exact thing. And it's like,
I felt this last time, so if I don't feel it this time, it must not be the case. It's like, why
the formula
are you,
God.
Yeah, why are you overthinking everything? Like he never said there was, you know, he never put all of these limits and requirements and all these things. It was just like, hey, just be with me. Like, and we know that in our personal relationships, you know what I mean? Like, we know that every day I'm with my spouse or my best friend, it's not going to be exactly the same.
No.
Like, we're not always going to have the most fun time that we've ever had in our whole life. It's not always going to be like, wow, this is just the best. You know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's a little bit of like beef and you're like, why is this happening? And I'm frustrated, you know, like, so there are different things that are always happening. And yet with God, we're like, I'll know that it's God if I start crying. Or I'll know that it's God if I see a sign.
And feel the goosebumps.
I feel the goosebumps. But it's like, you know, it's like that Elijah, you know, God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the thunder or whatever. He was in the whisper.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
And sometimes he is in the fire. Sometimes he is in those large things and those large events. And that's true. And that happens. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he comes in a whisper. Sometimes he comes in a very acute way that we have to just like be, we have to be noticing it. We have to look for it. We have to look around and have eyes that are looking for it. Eyes to see, ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying like, where is God in this? Like, where might God be leading me?
Yeah.
Rather than just like waiting for him to show up in a specific way. And so like you said, we over spiritualize, we overthink it and say like, it has to be this way, right?
Right. Well, I heard that one pastor say that he met God this way, or
this
happened to me last week. And then this friend of mine in my community said, I felt the Lord like this. Mm. And it's like, man, it's like you said, it's just not the case. There's a just thinking of a buddy of mine who like is not good with like silent time, silent spaces when you're hanging out with him. But I remember just being at lunch like 2 weeks ago, just sitting, and there was like a lull in the conversation. And he kind of gave me this like, I don't really know what to say now thing. Like, I'm kind of expecting something, but I don't know what I'm expecting. Like, what do I do? And I think the thought just hit me as I was sitting there of going, man, I'm just glad to be with you right now. Yeah. I don't need you to say anything.
Yeah.
I'm just really like, you're my best friend. I so enjoy just sitting here with you.
Oh my goodness. You know, that makes me think of, man, now I wish I had that Pete Grieg book with me. There's a part of it that he talks about exactly that, and how we've made prayer something that's really only for introverts and people that are cool with silence and stuff like that, and people that basically are like wired a certain way. And suddenly everybody else has to like work really hard
to try to meet that.
And it was just so fascinating to like get that kind of realization of like everyone's wired differently. And so it's like, and God has wired you that way. And so how do you meet God in the way that you're wired?
Yeah.
Is it by going on a walk in nature? Is it by sitting by yourself inside and just like sitting quietly? You know, is it reading? Is it listening to music? Is it like what is this way that God like connects with you and that you can hear God? And now I would say no matter where you're at, I think a degree of silence and solitude is always important in some capacity, no matter what your personality type. I think there is a level of silence and solitude that should be practiced. However, we can't look at that now as the rule. Like exactly what we're talking about, the overthinking of like, oh, silence and solitude is an important practice, like no matter who you are. But then we will like walk from, we'll hear that and then we'll walk away and say, okay, the only way to hear God is through silence and solitude. And you're like, oh, you totally missed it. Like you totally, like you took this thing and you, we jumped to the next conclusion. We jumped to a conclusion that said, oh, this practice that helps us to hear God must be the only way.
Sure. Well, and I mean, like, let's draw that out, you know, let me look at another pair of best friends. Oh, well, they're more adventurous than my best friend and I are. Oh, they're a lot more introverted and comfortable together. What's wrong with me and my best friend? Right. Our relationship is wrong.
It's yes. Like, no, it's just different.
Well, no, it is. It's different.
Yeah, it's just different. And that's fine. That's good. Like, God created you as an extrovert. God created you as someone that has distractions all the time. Because you have ADD and your brain just goes all over the place. Like, I would always teach that whenever I teach prayer stuff. I'm like, bro, I have ADD. My brain's all over the map. Like, I'll be praying this one thing and then something else will come to mind. And I'll like try to force that away. And I'll be like, no, don't pray about that. Don't pray about that. Like, I'm praying about this right now. Stop thinking about those other things. But I've gotten to a point in my prayer life where I'm like, man, I should just accept that that's where my brain went. And so I'm going to give that over to God.
That's okay.
And that, like, God has created me in a beautiful, beautiful way to be able to jump from thing to thing. And sometimes that's a struggle because, you know, sometimes I don't want to jump from thing to thing, but sometimes I just have to like lean into that and say like, God, whatever it is that I am thinking about, you think that's worth your time.
Hmm.
Whatever it is that I have to offer as a person with my personality and the things that, you know, make me me, God thinks that's worth his time.
Yeah.
And so how dare we think it's not?
Mm.
Like, how dare we think that the way that we're wired is not worth God's time? How dare we think that there is only a certain type of person that can do this, you know, and think that there's only a certain way to be with Jesus and to just be present with him.
And no matter what, he's thrilled to have
you. He's thrilled to be with you. Like I when I closed out the service on Sunday, I had said, I kind of referenced back to Mark 3 when Jesus called his disciples that they might be with him.
Mm.
Every one of those disciples, drastically different person.
Yeah.
Every single one of
them.
Crazy different background, crazy different value system, if we're being honest. Like, a lot of them had probably had different values and different things that they cared about, different ways that they're wired. Like, that was the reality, because that's how people are. They're all different, but he wanted each and every one of them to be with him in whatever way that looked like for each of them. I'm sure Jesus had a very different relationship with Peter than he did with, you know, James or John
100%.
Or Judas or Matthew. Like, he had different relationships with each of them because that's how it works. that's how life is. That's right. Just what it is. And like we like you said, we over-spiritualize God, we over-spiritualize Jesus to a point where we forget that he's a being.
Yeah.
He's a person that wants to be with us, that wants to be present. And so all we need to do is spend time with him.
I think the simpler you can make that, the better.
Yeah.
I get so intimidated by, you know, honestly, listening to you and Pastor Luke talk sometimes with prayer. But then, you know, also these other, you know, men and women of faith in the spiritual formation sphere talking about all these in-depth, deep conversations and all these beautiful practices. And I'm going like, well, yeah, that's fantastic. Jesus is going to meet me where I'm at right now and how I think and with my personality.
Like,
that's fine.
Jesus wants to meet you. Like, in the way that he created you.
Man, I just love that phrase. Jesus wants to meet you.
Yeah. And he wants to do it in the way that he created you.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, that makes God so happy. Like, I feel like that makes God so thrilled.
Yeah.
For you to meet with him in the way that he created you to.
Okay, I'll ask you this. What are some ways, like unique ways for you as Nick Wise, that Jesus meets you?
Yeah, songs.
Mm.
When I pray, songs come to my mind. And sometimes randomly, like I always assumed it was my ADD. I always assumed, because it would be like, one song is just like stuck in my head. You know, you get a song stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And then like 2 minutes later, another song would stuck in my head, but it would just be only like certain parts of it and like certain random spots of a song. And what I started doing is I would write those down. I would write down like whatever part of a song was stuck in my head while I was praying or while I was whatever. And I would find out that God was actually speaking to me through those things.
Wow.
I have different journal entries that were like, like different, like random songs that I hadn't heard in like ages. Like I remember there's a song called He Knows, Jeremy Camp. it's an old song. And I was literally, you know, my senior year of high school. I'm on a mission trip. And I obviously hadn't heard that song since I was probably in elementary school in the car on the radio. And I was praying and suddenly like literally just a portion of that song came to my mind. I wrote it down. And then a little bit later, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus came to my head. So I ran this down. And suddenly I had this whole page of lyrics. It was almost like a monologue of somebody just saying all of these things. But it was just lyrics strung together of song, like six songs.
Wow.
And it was the most, like for me, that was like God just spoke to me in a very unique way that like is unique to me. Like not everybody is a music person, but I as a musician and someone who has heard a lot of these songs, like that's just kind of how God reminds me of himself. Mm. So that's one way for me is music. Another way is conversations with people.
Yeah.
Because I just like to talk things out. I'm a verbal processor. Mm-hmm. And so I have to like say my thoughts out loud with people in order to like understand like what I'm like. You and I have had conversations about like different topics around faith and around God and even around like being with him, where like I won't shut up because I'll say something and I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes sense because now that leads to this and to this and to this. And like my mind like starts to understand those things and somehow like God meets me in those kinds of moments.
Yeah.
It's music, you know, talking with people. I will say, for me, even though I'm fairly extroverted, silence and solitude is real. I am not a huge fan of being alone and being by myself. But when I sit and I'm reminded of like, I reminded that I'm not by myself. I'm with Jesus. And I let the energy that I would normally get from people, you know, like that's what extroverts are. You know, they're people that get their energy and get filled up from having people around them. Well, the person I love to get filled up by is Jesus.
Yeah.
When I just sit down and I let Jesus give me energy and give me life. And just I'm reminded like, wow, I'm beloved. Like Jesus loves me. Jesus cares about me. Jesus sees me. Jesus sees my struggles. Jesus sees my frustrations. And I just take breaths in and out. Like solitude is different from isolation.
Yeah.
Like extroverts hate isolation, but we don't need to hate solitude.
Yeah.
Solitude as like a choice of being with Jesus.
Right.
Rather than forced to be alone because of whatever reason. And so I've learned to love that. Those are some of the ways that
I love that.
Like it's just kind of the way I'm wired and the way that God meets me. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah. Well, being an introvert, it was just a fun, fun dynamic.
A fun dynamic.
I'm an extroverted introvert, but an introvert nonetheless. God. So people know this. I have a very stupid sense of humor. Sometimes it goes way too far. But God also knows me outside of like meeting me through humor. Maybe it's like I'll be literally watching Impractical Jokers and then the Lord will give me something spiritual out of that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's me.
That's so profound.
But like it happens.
God's playing pranks on me.
Not in that sense. Exactly. But I think another part that I appreciate the Lord knows me is I can be incredibly, like all of us, incredibly prideful, but my tendency is to go back to my ancestor Adam in the garden and grab leaves and hide. And one of the things that the Lord loves doing with those closest to me is I laughed through like some frustration, but I need this. He reveals to them my sin or where I need to grow, and then they speak it to me because then I can't hide. I can't hide in the leaves as Adam hid in the garden. It's just there before me where someone will speak something and I'm like, hey, quit reading my mail. I don't like that.
quit reading my mail.
But the Lord also, like, out of his kindness, and again, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, as Paul writes in Romans, it's out of his kindness and out of his desire to see me not just grow and become more like Jesus, but fall in love with him more. Yeah. That's a way he'll speak to me is through other people in that capacity. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Through humor, through something profound, obviously through the word, that's huge.
Through community, I think we all can probably agree with that one through community.
Yeah.
Of people speaking into us and
oh, we need that.
People around. Like we need like that's just that's some, so huge.
Some of the best advice I was given, I mean, this was given to me as a pastor, but I think it's also perfect for anyone in our community. The pastor told me, surround yourself with people who won't be impressed with you.
Mm.
Meaning these people are, yeah, they're going to be great source of encouragement for you, but they're also going to be the ones who are going to sharpen you. As yeah. iron sharpens iron, yeah. so one man sharpens another.
Yeah.
And have those people around you mm. who can do that.
Yeah.
That's why we're so big on communities in Northwest.
Yeah, that's huge.
Mr. Community Pastor.
That's that. Hey, that's my job. That's why I have a job. Communities. but yeah, that I think, I hope that helps for the listener of just, you know, that's, two pastors that have different ways of, you know, hearing from Jesus and being with Jesus. But I think the goal with this as a whole, like we kind of said at the beginning, is to challenge the paradigm. Let's not, you know, graduate from Thanksgiving and requests because, you know, you never graduate from those things. That's not the right language or idea behind it. It's not like yeah. an elementary version of prayer. It's just that that's what we've always been taught. And we haven't been taught anything beyond that. You know, if someone was like, yeah, all I can do with Jesus is just sit there and hope he says something. Well, it's like, oh, I would encourage you. Like, you know, you can actually like thank him for things and request things. Like I would challenge yeah. that paradigm. If you're stuck in any one thing, like prayer needs to be, you know, expansive and many different things. And so it's really important that we, rather than overthink it as a singular way of prayer, instead we say, you know what, I'm open just as I would be with a friend. Sometimes I watch a movie with my friend. Sometimes I play a game with my friend. Sometimes I do this with my friend, do this with my friend, do this.
Or sometimes I have the full day. Sometimes I have 30 minutes.
Yeah, so yes, exactly. Sometimes I spend a whole day with a friend. Sometimes I only spend a couple minutes on a phone call. Like what does it look like to have a similar kind of relationship with Christ?
Yeah.
And to have that intimacy flow and then create fruitfulness.
Mm.
You know, because that's what the posture of prayer is about. It's a relational, intimate, just being with Jesus. That's the point. That's the goal. Yeah. It's not something we do, it's someone we're with. I feel like that's like the perfect, that's gonna be the title of this podcast
right
there.
That'll preach right there.
I think that wraps it up for this topic. I think we have a good conversation there. So if you have any questions or things you want us to talk about on the podcast, please let us know. We'd be happy to just, you know, start a podcast with a question and would like answer it. We'd love to do that. So you can do that by going to the media tab on our website at mercyroadnw.com. And on our website, you'll also be able to find more details and information about our community. And you can get a hold of me or Sam directly as well if you go to the staff page. So thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon.